Welcome to StarCast from Planet Waves. Tonight's edition is for Sunday, the 27th of February, 2027. It's about 7 p.m. here in New York. And what I'd like to focus on in this update is just a recap and reconsideration of the astrology surrounding the Pisces new moon, which takes place at 12:34 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. All times in this podcast are Eastern Time. First, a look at what happened over the weekend. The moon currently is in Aquarius, and all through the weekend was passing through the cluster of planets that's now in alignment in Capricorn. That includes a diversity of minor points such as Ixion, Quasar, and Pholus, plus well-known points like Vesta, Venus, Mars, and Pluto. So if you found that it was an unusually event-filled or emotional weekend for you, that is one way to look at it astrologically. After a moon void for a few hours, the moon entered Aquarius at 12:35 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, beginning a new journey, and that also includes a series of lunar conjunctions to points in Aquarius. Those include the asteroid Juno, one of the most vocal and prominent asteroids of them all, as well as a forthcoming conjunction to Mercury. That takes place Monday at 5:11 p.m., is Moon conjunct Mercury, and then at 9 p.m. on Monday, again Eastern Time, is Moon conjunct Saturn in Aquarius. So the Moon continues to be very active on its way into the last new moon of the astrological year, the new moon in Pisces, which again takes place at 12:34 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. Now, as for a little more, complex overview of this astrology, what we have going on right now are clusters of conjunctions in Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces all happening at once. And the epicenter of all of these is the moment of the Pisces new moon. And that is why I'm describing this as a singularity point. It's unusual enough to have one conjunction between the planets. It's certainly even more unusual to have two happening at the same time. But now we have simultaneous multiple conjunctions taking place in three different signs of the zodiac. Again, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So let's go in order, working up to the March 2nd new moon. So at the moment, Mars, Venus, and Vesta are all approaching conjunctions to Pluto, and those happen one at a time. And they are actually exact a little bit after the new moon. All this will be trailing off for a few days and then build to a new peak in April. But let's stick to what's going on this week. So there's this quad conjunction happening at the time of the new moon, which consists of Venus, Mars, Vesta, and Pluto. This is very unusual astrology, and it's also kind of a deepening and intensification of whatever it is may be going on, because these, any time you put another planet in conjunction with Pluto, you get an emotional and spiritual depth effect, and you also get a what you could just think of as an intensification on the personality level. And this calls for going deep, and that is not easy for everyone. It's not easy to ask real questions or to feel real feelings. And this is happening set in the context of pretty much everyone being, at this stage, a creature of the digital realm. We have all spent so much time in the digital realm that we are gradually becoming like these devices. And these devices are all driven by zeros and ones underneath the surface, right underneath the surface. Everything's reduced to zeros and ones. And so if you're noticing a lot of polarity on one hand, and let's say conducting oneself by algorithmic script, and generally in other ways yourself or others acting in a robotic fashion, that has something to do with all of this destabilizing digital technology that we are in the midst of. Humans think nothing like computers. Computers don't actually even think. They're just running a bunch of on-off switches, millions of times per second. That is not how the human mind processes information. We need to be attuned to our senses and to our feelings, to be in contact with the people and the critters and the plants and the natural environment that is around us. And when those things get cut off, we are made into more automatic and shallower people. And then when circumstances or astrology, which usually intersect with one another, conspire to call us deeper, there can be essentially a lack of capacity and an inability to handle the subtleties and the contradictions that exist on the human plane of thought and feeling. Okay, so that is the Capricorn leg of this. And Venus and Mars, of course, address various facts of and experiences of sexual polarity. And you might say that Vesta's contribution to the discussion gives us a little bit of distance from these elements of sexual polarity, a little bit of ability to stand back from these things and to allow them to be what they are. This is not about detachment. It is about holding space for yourself and for others, and it's also about tending to the flame that is apparently burning quite hot with these Venus and Mars conjunctions to Pluto. And again, these conjunctions talk about very deep passions that are deeper than are usually allowed or even considered, much less openly talked about, in our rather shut down electrical and digitized culture. And this is not a new problem entirely, but it has certainly grown worse as we have surrounded ourselves by the constant influx and, let's say, companionship of these digital devices. Emphasizing that point is that the moon is in Aquarius at the moment. As of this recording, again, now it's 7:05 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, the moon is at about 4 degrees of Aquarius. And so that in itself is offering a bit of a potential for arm's length difference and considering things in a more abstract way. But it's also a serious moon. It is something that indicates the capacity and the need for independent thought. But additionally, the moon in Aquarius wants some form of a collective conversation. And that's not easy to have right now due to the polarization. For example, if someone expresses one opinion that someone else finds objectionable, that can be seen as grounds to completely dismiss them. Now, the activity in Aquarius is focused on the forthcoming exact conjunction of the moon, of Mercury and Saturn. The Mercury-Saturn conjunction, again, is exact, and we're working up to it at 9 p.m. No, that's the moon conjunct Saturn. Sorry about that. The conjunction is exact the next day or the day after. And there's a lot of conjunctions happening. And they're all happening within about a 24 to 36-hour period. So it doesn't quite make sense to, you know, rattle them off in the play-by-play like the box scores in baseball. Just consider that this is all happening at the same time and that the moon's movement is providing emphasis. And now the moon is in Aquarius, and so it is essentially pointing to the conjunction of Mercury and Saturn in Aquarius. Mercury and Saturn can be great friends. Saturn gives a serious and grounded cast to Aquarius. And while Mercury in Aquarius can have the problem of not knowing when it doesn't know, which we could say is the very theme of the world that we're living in right now, Mercury conjunct Saturn is indicative of finding out that one does not know, or being able to take the whole matter deeper. So Mercury can be given to a kind of superficiality, but Aquarius wants to ground that, and Saturn is here to make that a slowed down, more thorough and complex analysis that is not afraid to include everything in the discussion and then weed out what is irrelevant, what does not make sense, what does not support the matter. But this sorting out has to happen consciously. And so the way that I'm looking at that Mercury conjunct Saturn component of the Pisces new moon is that it's about discovering where there are gaps in information and where there are gaps in one's ability to put the pieces together. I think during times like this, it's important to have the input of people who you trust, who are knowledgeable, but also to remember that what you're doing is you're taking their ideas under advisement. So to take someone's ideas under advisement doesn't mean to do what they say, but it does imply that you're going to think like they think for a little while, for long enough to get the feeling for what that is, and then consider something from the viewpoint of one or more other people, then keep considering things, and then make the decision that you need to make. I know that people can have a haphazard way of making their decisions, and there is this sense right now that we never really know everything, but I think that it's quite possible and indeed easily accessible to have the information that you need to make the decisions that you have to make, as long as a couple of conditions are met, one of which is knowing that you're actually at a decision point. Another is considering that there are consequences to the decisions that you make. And then a third one is having the patience to think things through from a number of viewpoints and not being dismissive of perspectives that you might find alien or in some way repugnant, and rather than just judging them by prejudice, to actually consider the different facts and how they come together. So with Mercury conjunct Saturn, there is a listening skill that is being called forth. And that's one of the really tough things to do in our time right now. Okay, now let's move on to events in Pisces at the time of the new moon. And I'm reading directly off of the new moon chart. Now, one of the things that's been brewing for quite a while has been Jupiter making a conjunction to Nessus. Nessus is a centaur planet, not an asteroid. It's a centaur. It's more like an outer planet than an asteroid. And it is the third centaur ever discovered. So it's quite an influential centaur. It helped define the whole concept of what a centaur is. And all of these points have one common theme, and that theme is healing. What Nessus mainly is about is consequences. It's about the results of actions taken, even if we didn't know we were taking an action or making a choice, and even if the results are completely unexpected. But when you start to work with Nessus as a principle for a while, you can see actually that there are boomerangs that are set in motion with each choice that we make. And after a while, you can start to make your decisions based on what you think the potential consequences might be. And this is not saying to live in a neurotic way, but it's important to remember that the choices you make do have effects. And one of the ways we're seeing this collectively is now we are getting a, let's say, radical grand tour of all of the fraud that has been committed against the human race in the past 2 years. By this stage, in late February 2022, you have to be living under a rock and pouring concrete into your ears and covering your eyes to not see the extent of the problems with the narrative that we were force-fed 2 years ago, and all the ways we were basically compelled to rearrange our lives and make almost every sacrifice, and by that I really do mean sacrifice, including sacrificing seeing our elders, sacrificing weddings, sacrificing funerals, sacrificing school, closing down businesses, everything from the boutique across the street from me to all of Broadway, Madison Square Garden, and every other theater in the world. Well, you would think that if all that was going to happen, there really must have been something very serious going on. And what is coming to light now is that we were, in fact, lied to. Now, readers of Planet Waves have been hearing this for a long time. It was on March 30th, 2020, that I said, well, one thing I can tell you after 1 month on this story is that we are being lied to. Jupiter conjunct Nessus is reminding us of all the ways we have been lied to. It is now undeniable. There are so many different things coming out simultaneously that must be really overwhelming for those who have no grasp on the issues. And in a sense, that is part of the plan. It is part of the plan to completely inundate and deluge people with chaos and distraction and with pain to the point where people can no longer think rationally. However, this is a very precise alignment, and the implication is that we actually can learn something. So that has been brewing, and this is exact within hours of the new moon on March 2nd. The new moon takes place again, 12:34 p.m. Eastern time on the 2nd. The 2nd is a Wednesday. Okay, so what then happens is that the moon moves into the alignment. It's only 2 degrees away with Nessus and Jupiter, and then the sun makes a conjunction to Nessus, followed by a conjunction to Jupiter. So this whole thing will stretch out over a number of days from now and from the new moon, and then in various ways it unfolds and continues. We are right now in the very throat of the whole matter. We're right at the center of it, and part of the, it is central to the whole issue, is this war that has been initiated in Ukraine. I can tell you that regardless of what various message boards and chat groups are saying, and I'm on a whole bunch of them, is that I am in daily contact with someone on the Planet Waves team who is in Kiev normally, working for us. Now she is in a safe house on the outskirts of Kiev in a place less likely to get bombed. The Ukrainians are taking casualties of both civilians and of military people, and the Ukrainian government is conscripting all men between 18 and 60 into the armed forces, while at the same time men in certain regions are joining the Russian forces. To me, this has the setup of a civil war. And we may ask what exactly is going on. And I can tell you a couple of things. One is that all wars are wars over resources and money. There's never a war fought for ideology. It's all about wealth, and Ukraine has plenty. It's a kind of a playground for oligarchs and for fraud to be committed. It's also sitting on a vast wealth of natural resources, including combustible petroleum gas in a time of a global energy crisis. So big geopolitical games are being played. And I think as a testament to the seriousness of this, Russia has put its nuclear forces on a higher state of alert. Russia has brought up, as in Vladimir Putin, the whole nuclear issue. Putin is not failing to remind us that Russia is armed with nuclear weapons. Those weapons can basically reach any city on Earth in a fairly short period of time. And I think that while I do not want to be alarmist, we take this seriously, we slow down, and we appreciate these days and consider what it is that we want, because that is the thing that we are the most likely to get. And if you abdicate that choice, it usually does not go that well. The bulletin, what is it called? The Union of Atomic Scientists has this thing called the Doomsday Clock. The Doomsday Clock is set to some time generally between quarter to midnight and midnight. So it's a symbolic thing. And in 1991, when the Cold War was officially declared over and the Berlin Wall was down and everything was hunky-dory and Russia was considered an aspiring democratic power, which it's really not, the doomsday clock was set at 17 minutes to midnight. That's the longest I've ever seen it. At the beginning of the Trump administration, because of all of his bombastic rhetoric and various other world situations, the doomsday clock was set at 2.5 minutes to midnight. Right now, the doomsday clock is set at 100 seconds to midnight. And so far as I know, this does not take into account Vladimir Putin essentially threatening the world with the use of nuclear weapons. So please pay attention. Take care of the people around you. Take care of yourself. These lives that we're living are extremely fragile and ought to call forth an awareness and empathy and gentleness. Okay, I'm planning to do nightly reports as the world situation and the astrology unfold. This is intended mostly as an introduction. If you'd like to catch this in writing, there is an article called Pisces and the Abyss that I will link to right from this edition of Starcast on planetwaves.net. So that's planetwaves.net/Starcast. It's going to take us a little time to update on any other platforms, so I suggest you keep looking for us right here. That article will give you an idea of what's going on, and any of the recent StarCast editions have this same basic set of astrological factors described over and over again in slightly different terms. Also, the new edition of planetwaves.fm was posted on Friday night. That begins with an overview of the astrology, but first with a conversation, the most recent conversation we were able to record with Kate Rozhenko, who is, again, from our Kiev office and in a safe house on the outskirts of town. We would have had contact with her, but we were having internet connectivity issues on Sunday night and could not do that conversation. Okay, please check back. Please check your email. Get on our mailing list. There's a little drop down that comes down at the top of the page every time you load planetwaves.net. And I look forward to being in contact sometime on Monday night. Thanks for listening and stay in touch.